Welcome to the season premiere of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. We're back. Hope you're doing well during this crazy time. Thanks so much for listening. This is a big episode to kick off the new season about the biggest movie everyone is talking about right now, DreamWorks Trolls World Tour. It's on video on demand this Friday, April 10th, along with select theaters. Gonna get into all of this with the producer of the movie, Gina Shea, coming up. But first, so thrilled to have on director Walt Dorn right now on the LCJ Q&A. Walt, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am so excited to talk to you and talk about this movie.
Yeah, a lot to talk about, but obviously I first want to get your thoughts on this big news about Trolls World Tour coming to video on demand at home viewing for families on Friday. This has got to be great.
I am so excited and so honored to be able to share the movie this way. I have two little kids at home, and this is how we watch movies, you know. I think we work 3 years on a film, and everyone puts their heart and soul into it, and the whole goal is to share it with as many people as we can, and I couldn't think of a better way.
Were you consulted on the decision? It was a big announcement that Universal and DreamWorks made a few weeks ago. It's kind of shaking up the industry right now. Were you consulted on this decision?
Yeah, we had talked about a lot of different possibilities, and I know it's something Universal really wanted to try, and, you know, they were keeping us in the loop the whole time, and I think, you know, when it finally came to this decision, they were letting us know, and we were definitely a part of it, and again, besides excited to be able to share this with everybody, the movie is designed to make you feel good, you know, from the jokes to the color to the music, and so the opportunity to kind of give a little jolt of joy to everybody during this time, I think it's just, you know, again, it's an honor.
It's really interesting because when the first Trolls came out in November 2016, it was during the really crazy presidential election time, and it was kind of an ugly time to be on social media and to be talking about things, and Trolls gave everyone this positivity, and now here we are again. This is crazy that it's sort of in the same position yet again.
I know, and you never know. You know, we talk about, like, well, when the film comes out, we don't really know what the situation will be, but it's always our intent, no matter what, is to make films that make you feel good. You know, that, and through science, we are able to do that. Through science and technology, we can make you feel better.
And I also think this film is going to shatter those stereotypes that people have about, you know, some direct-to-video animated movie sequels. You know, some people think, oh, they're not as good as the first ones because those were in theaters and all that. This is going to shatter those old thoughts. What you guys are doing, I think, is fantastic and a real game changer.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we feel the same way, you know, with my co-director Smith and I. During the 3 years of making this, we just kept looking at each other, you know, watching it over and over. We couldn't believe what we were making, and we couldn't wait to share it with everybody because we kept thinking people are going to be really surprised by this.
The phenomenon of Trolls, it's been fantastic over the last several years. I watched part of it again on NBC the other night to get ready for this interview and to get pumped for Trolls World Tour this Friday on VOD. There are a bunch of different music genres that you have here in this film. What was the process like in sort of bringing them all together, choosing them, and even making the rock genre kind of the villain in Trolls World Tour?
Yeah, it was a challenging process because, you know, we had this story kind of at its basic, which is, you know, this idea of gathering the strings, which everyone will see. So it kind of lent itself, okay, a guitar, which is kind of the weapon in this film, has six strings. And so we're thinking, okay, there's going to be six main genres we explore. And we worked with a musicologist from UCLA that really helped us kind of, okay, these six genres are represented all over the world. And there's many subgenres beneath it. But we wanted so much diversity in the film that we started to stretch out as much as we could to get as many other genres in there. So besides funk, pop, rock, classical, country, and what am I missing? Rock, did I say? So besides those six main genres, we were like, let's get more. You know, we put in reggaeton and K-pop and smooth jazz, of course, hip-hop. And we started getting as much diversity as we could within an 80-minute movie.
The smooth jazz in the trailer, you see a little bit in there, Poppy and Branch's eyes get kind of big. I'm looking forward to the smooth jazz element of Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, maybe only smooth jazz could be considered a villain, but even they're not. I think it's really important to say, even though the rock trolls are the antagonists of the film, and they're a little aggressive like rocks can be, that there is no one true villain. We were very careful not to vilify any genre, even rock.
And the voice cast, you've got Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake and James Corden back. And as far as the new cast members, the one that really intrigues me is Sam Rockwell, Oscar winner for 3 Billboards. He's done a lot of great on-screen work over the last couple of years. How was it working with him?
Oh, man, it was so great. His cast is so huge. I haven't talked about Sam in a while. He is an incredible actor. He's like an actor's actor. It was so funny. He was just so into the role. The first day that he came to record, you know, as Hickory, he showed up in a full cowboy outfit. He is a country music troll. And he had a lasso. He was trying to lasso the craft services table. He was into it, man.
Wow. That's fantastic. Wow. I would love to see, maybe if it comes out on DVD at some point, some DVD extras with Sam Rockwell in that attire. That would be awesome.
I think we have it, you know, because we film all the sessions for reference for the animators. We do what's called the lipstick can, and we get, you know, the subtlety of their expressions to inspire our animators. So I think we got the footage. We got to put it out there.
Yeah, get it on social. Get it viral. Yeah, absolutely. Trolls World Tour, Friday on VOD. Walt Dorn, the director, is my guest right now in the LCJ Q&A. Can't Stop the Feeling. I mean, my gosh, this song over the last 4 years. Wow. Oscar nomination and, you know, the hit song of the summer, phenomenon. Did you or Justin Timberlake feel any pressure this time around to kind of top that song?
Yeah, it was definitely part of the conversation. You know, it became such a mega hit. You know, like I said, I have kids. It was like everywhere, every birthday party, every skating rink, like you name it. It was everywhere we went. And we were so proud. And so was Justin. You know, just it feels so good to be able to connect with people on that scale. So definitely a challenge coming into this film. Like, how are we going to top that? So really, the direction that we felt, and Justin too, was like, we're not going to try to top that song. It's we had this opportunity for him to collaborate with all these different artists from different genres. And so it just kind of lent itself to having different kind of music, you know. And not to mention, in this film, there is more original music than the last film. So there was an opportunity to, I think, create a larger canvas for Justin and the music team to work with.
Yeah, and what you did so successfully the last time as well was also incorporate older songs, new versions of that. You know, seeing the True Colors scene again the other night really brought back a lot of memories, and it is such a nice scene. How was it, and what was the process in choosing the older songs to incorporate into the script and the story for Trolls?
Yeah, I love that part of the process, you know, because part of, like you said, part of our music identity is these familiar songs, as well as the original songs, which are great. And these familiar songs, or, you know, like this jukebox musical style, is just such a joy as part of the process, because we all get to come into the room, Justin included, and kind of list our favorite songs. You know, first it's all driven by the narrative, of course. You know, we have our story, so we start thinking, what songs would go well here? And there's medleys and mashups, so everyone got to kind of put in what they felt is their favorite song, as long as it kind of kept the narrative momentum going, and people were aware of it, we put it in. And I've got some of my favorite songs in there, that's for sure.
Good.
Atomic Dog.
Okay.
Atomic Dog is one of my favorite songs growing up. And of course, everyone loves that song. And George Clinton is in the movie, and he's a consultant. So that was a good choice.
Good. Well, I'll be looking forward to those jukebox songs. And you also, you voice Cloud Guy, and you voice Smidge. You're back to those characters. Is it weird directing yourself?
It can be. It can be very economic. But I also have my co-director, Dave Smith. So when I get behind the microphone, you know, he really steps up and gives me notes on my performance. You know, mostly he's just very supportive.
Well, that's good.
A lot of little voices, too. He's got some roles in there. In fact, he has a most magic cameo where you actually see his legs in the film. I won't give it away, but... It's a very surreal moment.
Ooh, Okay, surreal. Stepping into a different world, different dimension, sort of. Okay, okay. I hope he's not too critical with you. That would be, tough if that was the case in the booth.
He's very supportive. We went to CalArts together. We are old friends. We used to make films together many years ago when we were butt boys. We go way back.
Nice. And one of the other great things you've done in your career is be a part of Shrek Forever After, which is celebrating 10 years in about a month or so. It's one of my favorite finales of a franchise in the past decade because I really think it wraps the Shrek saga up nicely. Where does voicing Rumpelstiltskin rank among everything you've done in your career?
Man, thanks for bringing that up. It's 10 years, that's crazy. I don't really get to talk about that one much, and I'm incredibly proud of the work that everybody did on that film, and I was so honored to be able to play the antagonist of that movie. It was such a big role. You know, before that role, you know, I did little voices here and there. I was like, Walt Dorn, you may remember me as guard number 2 in Shrek 3 or something. So this one was, the joke was, once they decided to cast me, which was incredible, I was so honored again. You know, we had those posters that said Myers, Murphy, Diaz, and we thought we should say Dorn, question mark.
It was a big role, but it was a fun role, and it was also interesting because you sort of had two titles in the marketing. You had Shrek Forever After and Shrek the Final Chapter to get people going to the theater. But yeah, I really liked that film.
Yeah, thank you. We're so proud of it. I feel like it's a movie you really couldn't make today. You know, it's so... The tone of it is so unique, and it's really quite beautiful. I hope maybe people will rediscover it here on its 10th anniversary.
I hope so. So, Walt, in looking at your entire Trolls experience, which also includes the holiday special from NBC and the Netflix animated show The Beat Goes On, if you made a scrapbook of your entire experience like Poppy does, what would you put on the cover of it?
That's a good question. I would put, something about the music. I mean, I love so many aspects of it, but I have to say, working, you know, with the musicians and working with the music element of the film is really something unique compared to the rest of my career. And I just love it so much. You know, I'm a hobbyist. I have a piano, and I play, you know, 20 instruments very poorly. You know, I never really was a formally trained musician, so a chance to work with the caliber of musicians on these films has been quite an honor.
We are so looking forward to listening to all that new music and the classic music updated Trolls World Tour, select theaters. Hopefully it'll be at some drive-ins that are still open around the country, and it'll be in all of your homes this Friday, April 10th, for Easter weekend for families to watch. Walt Dorn, thank you for being on the LCJ Q&A. Congrats on the movie, and congrats for getting this movie out there during this time.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Yeah, go check out the movie. We are so excited.
Woohoo! I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Joining me right now is the producer of Trolls World Tour, Gina Shea.
Thanks for having me, Jackson.
There is so much to talk about when it comes to Trolls World Tour. I really want to get into the big news, which is the VOD news. The film is coming to families' homes this Friday, April 10th. I think it's a fantastic decision. How do you feel about this kind of game-changing move in the industry you guys are doing with this film?
Well, I think I would have actually been a bit bummed if we couldn't bring the movie out in this time right now. In these unprecedented times, I feel like this movie has joy in spades, and there's so much interactivity with the music and the possibility of dancing and bursting out in song is absolutely real. And I am really happy that Universal made the decision to bring it to people's homes so people can watch it with their families. People of all ages can watch it. It just feels right for right now.
I completely agree with you on that. The first big news that happened when it came to all of this was moving the release date up from April 17 to April 10, which was when No Time to Die, the James Bond movie, was supposed to open. How soon after that happened did you start to hear rumblings that this move to primarily to VOD was possibly going to happen?
It was pretty much at the same time. You know, I know that there were a lot of scenarios being bounced around, but, you know, we found out about it pretty close to the time where the world found out about it. Mm. And, you know, it felt like the right decision because, you know, I had been bouncing around scenarios in my mind. It could have gone so many different ways. But I'd rather that people get a chance to watch it now with their families all together, and instead of pushing it off until a very busy, probably, fall.
Oh, yeah, because it seems like with all these studios making these release date changes and delays that it is getting more crowded in the second half and the final quarter of 2020. Do you know if you guys at Universal and you guys are going to be releasing the box office stats or sort of how it's going to do on VOD, all the money coming in?
You know, your guess is as good as mine at this point, because this is unprecedented, and, you know, we're all kind of stepping through this process together. Every day seems to be quite a surprise, and, you know, I think we're just all holding hands and figuring it out as we go.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're getting this movie out there. Families are going to enjoy this, enjoy the music, enjoy the different worlds. There's all these different lands you experience in Trolls World Tour. What is your favorite genre of music, and is it one of the lands experienced in Trolls World Tour?
You know, just like in the movie, I do not have a favorite genre of music because I love most music. I've been a big music fan my whole life, since I could first remember, in my first memories had to do with music, you know, music on Sesame Street, funk music from the 70s, all the way through also rock. I remember the first thing I got off the bookmobile was a Kiss record when I was about 7. And, you know, just all music, and I love music that is unique as well. You know, the one probably genre of music that I haven't been really accustomed to listening to my whole life is country and some pop as well. You know, I'm more of like rock, EDM, which we showcase as techno in the movie because of alliteration. Techno Trolls sounds good. There's so many different descriptions for different types of subtle changes in EDM music. And, you know, so we went with techno. I love funky music. I love hip hop. I love indie rock. I love, you know, I'm just one of those people who listens to kind of everything. But most of my country music is kind of rooted in what I would hear on the radio in the 70s with my parents. Mm. You know, I tend to be more Patsy Cline and Hank Williams, and more oriented towards more of roots.
Gotcha. My mother's favorite, Patsy Cline. And you've got big music names in Trolls World Tour joining the cast, like Mary J. Blige and Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson's been in a lot of animated films recently, as well as the new talk show that's been a big hit for NBC over the last year or so. How was it working with Mary J. Blige and Kelly Clarkson on this?
Well, working with Kelly was such a joy. She has this incredibly effervescent personality, and it just kind of comes through as someone who you would think is carries those troll themes of happiness and togetherness and inclusion. And it was incredible to work with her. And she just blew our minds when she sang the country song that Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton wrote for her called Born to Die. And we're all in tears, laughing at ourselves in the session, because she just delivered this incredible performance that felt so real. And then with Mary, it was amazing to work with Mary, because I've always loved her, and she just brought this incredible anchor to our funk world. Who she's paired with George Clinton and Anderson .Paak, it plays her son. George Clinton plays her husband, the King of Funk, and Anderson .Paak plays her son, the Prince of Hip Hop, and she just anchors them all in this great reality when Poppy comes across them and is schooled in a very surprising way.
Girls World Tour, VOD, this Friday. Gina Shea, the producer, is my guest right now in the LCJ Q&A. So you've got Mary J. Blige and Kelly Clarkson and Anna Kendrick's back and James Corden's back and Timberlake and Chris Stapleton. It's a lot of great people in the world of music and song and dance. So as far as trying to top Can't Stop the Feeling, which was such a phenomenon when it came out with the first Trolls movie, does it feel like here it's more of a collection and a showcase of songs, really, for Trolls World Tour that all these different moviegoers and fans get to experience?
Well, it's an interesting question, but the songs are always rooted in what the story is dictating. Mm. So we write the story, and then we talk to our music team about what we need to convey, and you know, we talk about and we brainstorm like what the vibe needs to be. And there are several songs in the movie, so I do believe that it's like the collection, this epic collection of music is pretty vast. The part of the movie in the first movie where Can't Stop the Feeling was at the apex of Act 3, and our song in Act 3 in Trolls World Tour had to convey like a much deeper meaning. Mm. And it couldn't be a straight up pop song. It had to embody all these different genres of music, and it had to convey that you cannot harmonize without letting other voices into your heart. And you can't harmonize alone. The song is, you know, I'm not sure even how to describe Just Sing, but it feels a little folky, it's a little poppy, it's a little country, it's a little funk. It has so many different dimensions to it, and it's really just a big sing-along. So that's what we needed to convey at that point in the movie.
I can tell in listening to you talk about this movie and these characters how deeply you have been invested in them, because you were also a part of the first Trolls movie and the Trolls Holiday Special. I mean, how much, what percentage of your life over the last 5 or 6 years, Gina, has been devoted to these characters?
Probably every part of my life since 2012.
Wow.
My kids have grown up with hearing about Poppy and Branch Adventures at night, their bedtime stories. These characters have lived in my heart for a very long time. And I think even way before we even started, they were in there. They were in there in the form of, you know, Bert and Ernie. They've been in there forever, and, you know, they just are part of the tapestry of my life. So, and I love them, and I love this franchise. It's a challenge to make sequels, but I feel like we are delivering on what people expect from a sequel.
And one of the other cool things you've been able to do in this period of time is, because you also were a producer on Shrek the Halls and Shrek Forever After, is that you got to be a guest judge on the Shrek-themed episode of Cake Wars on the Food Network. Now, I love these shows. I'm obsessed with all of these Food Network shows. Tell me about that day and that experience.
It was so fun. I had a really good time. You know, I had never been on a show like that before, and it did take 12 hours. It was freezing. I don't know why. Kind of a lot of time had passed since I had worked on Shrek. They were kind of bringing Shrek back. For Cake Wars, and there were some questions they asked me, very specific questions about Duloc and so forth, that I was like, oh, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I can't remember. But it was really fun, and I can't believe the talent behind the baking there. It was just incredible, and the food was delicious. Like, you look at these shows, and you're like, oh, they must be faking it. But the food was incredible. Those cakes, I could, you know, I wish I had the recipe.
That's so great. I love hearing all that. And I love the fact that tonight, because this episode is going to run on Monday, April 6th, tonight on Spring Baking Championship on the Food Network is a whole Trolls World Tour themed challenge. Did you have any input on making that happen?
No, I didn't, but I'm super excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Again, I'm obsessed with all those shows, and all the contestants are going to make the Trolls characters, and it's good promotion for the movie. I think it's going to be really, really good promotion for families to gather around watching that and then watch Trolls on Friday. Gina, you know, if you had to make a scrapbook based on your entire experience with these Trolls characters, what do you think your cover would look like?
I think the cover would probably have every single person who's ever worked on Trolls on it, because as Poppy says in the movie at the very end, you cannot harmonize alone. And that's the big takeaway from the movie. And this is a big art collective. The Trolls Art Collective, it has been a joy. And I cannot wait to see everybody again and work with everybody again soon, very, very soon.
Thanks to producer Gina Shea.
Thanks, Jackson.
And director Walt Dorn. Trolls World Tour are going to be a big hit for DreamWorks and Universal with at-home viewing. It's on VOD this Friday, April 10th, and it'll be in select theaters around the country if there are theaters still open near you. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com in the LCJ Q&A podcast section. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Stay safe, healthy, and positive.